God is a God that wants to do great things for our lives. I'll just say this morning. I believe God is going to reveal some things to all of us, not only just in what's happened in worship already, but also what God's going to do through the Word of God. And this morning, if you got your Bibles, go to Proverbs chapter 2, verse 13. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 13. We serve a great God. And I'm glad they did that song this morning. Actually lined up with what I'm doing. And this morning, the title of my sermon is Ultimate Alliance. If you can put that up there real quick. And I know it kind of looks like superheroes. And, you know, I've been a youth pastor for 17 plus years. So some of that will always rub off on me a little bit. But the thing that God wants to communicate this morning about that is that, you know, through time and through history, countries form pacts. They form things called alliances. And if you watch the news a lot, United States, we have an alliance with South Korea and Japan. And if a country named North Korea tries to pull an attack on South Korea, can anybody take a guess at what's going to happen? The United States of America and its forces, its armed forces, will not just sit back and watch and play card games. They will be locked and loaded, and they will go and attack North Korea because they just attacked a partner of their alliance, South Korea. This morning, I want to talk to you about alliances. I want to talk to you about the great alliance that God formed with us when he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross and raise again on the third day. He created an alliance that we can either accept or deny. And this morning, we're going to talk about that alliance. That alliance through the Bible is called a covenant. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 13. And this is a great verse. It says, from those who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in perversity of the wicked. Verse 15, whose ways are crooked and who are devious in their paths, to deliver you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words, who forsakes the companion of her youth. And I want you, this is the important part right here. And forgets the covenant of her God. The underlying issue of why we mess up and get into sin or do the wrong thing is because the devil, the deceiver, deceives us into forgetting the covenant or the alliance that we have with God. And how he does that is he brings despair, he brings circumstances, he brings situations into our lives to try to get us to doubt the agreement that we made with God when we prayed that prayer of salvation. Here's the thing. This morning, if there's anything you leave away with this morning, I pray to God that we all leave not forgetting the agreement, the alliance that we have with God our Father. Check this out. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 1. In the Bible, there's an old covenant and there's a new covenant. We live in a new covenant. That's what Jesus did when he died on the cross. That covenant, if you study out what a covenant means, a covenant has 9 different steps. Covenants are a binding agreement. Let me read you a definition of a covenant real quick. A covenant means a binding agreement between two parties. By definition, it is an agreement to cut a covenant by the shedding of blood and walking between two pieces of flesh. Now, that's kind of graphic and gory, but my point this morning, it's a binding agreement. I don't know about you, but maybe some of you may remember this or not, but there was a time and a day in our country when a handshake meant that you had a covenant with somebody. Nowadays, you go and try to buy a house, you don't just have one signature. You got 500,000 signatures. I told my wife, it's like the third house we've bought in our life together, and I told her, I said, honey, the next time we buy a house, I am inventing a robot that does a rubber stamp with my signature on it, and I can just push a button and they'll sign it for me and I'll meet them when they're done. But unfortunately, nowadays, our society has forgotten what a covenant means. That's why we got 500 pages. because everybody backs out on agreements. Well, you're going to do this? Okay. And that's the one thing that I've had to do is I had a pastor one time say, Kevin, make sure your word is your bond, no matter what you do. Am I perfect in that? No, I try my best. But the point is we as Christians, we have to be aware of what a covenant means. This morning, we're going to talk about that alliance, that covenant that God made with us. 1 Samuel 18, verse 1. This is talking about King David with Jonathan. It says, now when he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Saul took him that day and would not let him go home to his father's house anymore. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. A covenant means that you love that person just as much as yourself. In other words, if they're hurting, you're hurting. Amen. You become one. That's why with marriage, when you get married, you form a covenant. You become one. I say all the time, I joke around with my wife all the time. I say, honey, we share the same spit. And that's good because we're in covenant. And she's like, Kevin, you're crazy. It's okay. Why? Because we share each other. We became one. Sometimes when we get in arguments, we don't feel like we're one at all. We feel like we're three or four parts. But guess what? When we put God first, as we go closer to God, we become one. Amen. Amen. Check this out. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own. Verse 4, Jonathan took off his robe that was with him and gave it to Dave with his armor, even his sword, his bow, and his belt. Back then, their belts did not just keep up their pants. Their belt stood for something. It stood for the very fact of their armor, their sword, their defense, their power, who they were, all centered around the belt that they wore. So when he was taking that belt off, he gave it to Jonathan. He was saying, I give everything, my power, who I am, everything over to you. Now let's just break this down a little bit. Let's just look at this a little differently here. God cut a covenant with us. What does that mean? That means that God, all his power, all his might, all his defense weapons, all his offensive weapons, everything he is, he says, I give it over to you. Healing, victory, prosperity, everything, I've given it over to you. The question is have we given everything over to him? And here's the great thing, here's the encouraging thing about it. Last I checked with what the Bible says and who God is, God practically gets the short end of the stick in this deal. Because he takes all of our junk, all of our imperfections, and he takes them all on him and gives us all of him that's all perfect. It's all good. It's all great. There's nothing bad. So how can we come here as a congregation on Sunday morning and not be excited, not be happy to get in the presence of God, to get here and say, God, I am so thankful you gave me life. You cut a covenant with me. You took all my junk and you gave me all your good. That's who we serve. That's who you serve. And wherever you're at, whatever you're facing this morning, I'm here to tell you that God has so much good things for you. Problem lies is whether we as human beings are willing to give up what we have. We got to give up what we have. It's not as good as him. Last I checked, it's nowhere near what God can give us. I'm not going to go through all the steps this morning of this covenant because there's too many for one sermon, but I'm going to touch on a couple of them. The next step is they actually, after they took off who they were, their belt, gave them their belt, they took off that. The next thing they did was they actually cut a covenant. Genesis chapter 15, verse 1. And after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision saying, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Notice that. God says, I am your shield. Once again. Whew, that's good. Your exceeding great, not just good, but great reward. That's excellent. But Abraham said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless? An heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. Abraham's sitting here saying, from my vantage point, God, I don't see great things. And that's where faith comes in. That's where faith comes in. See, God, but Abraham said, in verse 3, and says, Abraham said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born to my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your body shall be your heir. Then he brought him outside and said, look now towards heaven. Count the stars if you're able to number. If you can even count them, Abram. If you can even go there, try to. And he said to them, so shall your descendants be. And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted him to for righteousness. And then he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to inherit it. Now, later on this chapter, if you go down, I'm going to kind of skip down. He said, verse 9, he said, bring me a 3-year-old heifer, a 3-year-old female goat, and a 3-year-old ram, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he brought all these to him and cut them in two down the middle and placed each one on the opposite of each other. But he did not cut the birds in two. And when the vultures came down on the carcasses, Abraham drove them away. Now, I'm going to go back to this and kind of define this a little bit. Notice here that God made the first step. When he sent his son Jesus, he made the first step. Now it's our turn to take the next step. When you cut a covenant, you're saying two things. Number one, you're saying all my rights, all my privileges, everything I am, I give over to you. Everything. When I married my wife, I told her, I give you everything. Did I fully realize the magnitude of that? Probably not. But I made that decision, that covenant, saying what's mine's yours, what's yours mine's. I still have not obtained a man cave yet. It's okay. She gets the hat. She does the decorating, all that stuff. I don't want to get in the way of that. Lord knows my walls will be Star Wars. Anyway, praise the Lord. But here's the thing. Number one, you're saying I give everything over. Number two, what you're saying, this is key here. You're saying these two animals, this animal that I split in half and we walk between the animal with the blood, with the covenant. You're saying if I break this covenant, do to me what we just did to these animals. Now here's the good part. God's mercy is new every day. That's why that verse says every day, because every day we're human beings, we fall. We slip up. But his mercy, God could easily say, you know what, a real covenant, I could take those terms and take us out. But he doesn't do that. What does he do? Now there is a limit, there's a line where God has to step back and say, I can't do this thing. But with the covenant, what God's saying is he cannot go back on his word. He is bound to it by death. And his son died for us. So that means whatever you need in life, whatever there is that comes against you, whatever, if it's healing, if it's sickness and disease coming at you, if it's financial issues, whatever it is, you have the right and the privilege to go to God and say, God, I need your side of this covenant agreement to take place. Because God can't go back on it. That means it has to happen for you. So guess what? We don't have to be discouraged anymore. We don't have to be despaired. We don't have to sit there and worry. Why? Because God has to perform his word. It's not a matter of if. And that's where faith becomes easy, is because when we realize the covenant that God will perform his side of the deal. He already knows that we may mess up and may not perform our side of the deal. He already knows that. But guess what? He never reneges on his side of the deal. Ever. Check this out. There's even more that comes up with this. The next step I'm going to do is make a scar. Step 6, turn to Isaiah 49, verse 16. Isaiah 49, 16, real quick here. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 49, 16. It says, verse 16, it says, see, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. The next step to a covenant is that you slice your palm of your hand. You open it up with blood. The other person slices their palm. You mix it together. And you mix the blood DNA. I want you to think about that for a second. When we prayed the prayer of salvation, Romans 10, 9 and 10, confess with your mouth, believe in your heart, you shall be saved. When you do that, you are exchanging your DNA with God's DNA. His DNA, it gets intermingled with your DNA. His power gets intermingled with you. His might gets intermingled with you. His authority gets intermingled with you. Everything he is gets intermingled with you. There's something more to that that's even more powerful. When you make those, it's meant to make a scar. A scar is to bring remembrance of what took place. A scar brings remembrance of what took place. We went back to that other verse about talking about bring back in Proverbs, bringing back to forgetting the covenant that we have. God this morning wants to bring back to remembrance the covenant that we have. The scar. Now check this out. There's a man named Henry Stanley. Some of you guys may have heard of him. He was an 18th century explorer in Africa. What he did was he went all over Africa, tracking down a man named David Livingstone. And as he went through Africa in the late 1800s, there was a lot of tribes. And these tribes cut covenants. And so he went along all of Africa, and it's documented that he had over 50 scars on his palms and his wrists on one hand because he cut 50 covenants with different tribes all across Africa as he explored. He told a story one time where he ran into a couple tribes that were trying to attack him and kill him. You know what he did? All he had to do, because he had covenant with 50 tribes, is hold up his hand and say, "Come get me." Why? Because those three tribes attacking him knew if they attacked him, they're attacking 50 other tribes. And those 50 tribes will annihilate those three attacking them. When we cut covenant with God, this is going to get somebody excited in this room. When we cut covenant with God, I'm telling you right now, the devil isn't just messing with you. He is messing with all of heaven. Let me ask you this question. Do you think God puts up with the devil messing with him? Okay, then here's another one. Do you think God's going to put up with then the devil messing with you? So when sickness comes at you, when disease comes at you, when circumstances come at you, when financial bills come at you that you can't pay, what do? You say, "Devil, ha ha, fat chance. Guess what? I've got a covenant." That's why the Bible says lift up holy hands. Because I got a covenant. And guess what? It's a covenant of power. A covenant of might. And all of heaven, when the devil messes with you, you got to realize he's messing with all of heaven. It's not just you. See, the devil wants us to deceive us to think it's just, we're just doing this on our own. We can't get out of this and it's just us and we're measly and we can't do nothing. No. The Bible says greater is he that's in me. Oh my goodness. Than he that's in the world. So you know what, devil? Bring it. Why? Because I got all of heaven behind me. I got a covenant. Oh, I've got an alliance. I'll do the superhero thing for some of you younger ones or ones that like comic books. When you mess with the Avengers, you know the Avengers movie and Endgame? Captain America's standing at the end of that movie all by himself. His shield's busted. It's broken. He's looking busted, broken, and disgusted. He's all bloodied up. Thanos just kicked his tail. All of a sudden, Thanos' entire army is coming at Captain America, like thousands of dudes, right? Big bad dudes. Captain America standing with his shield, and all of a sudden, he hears a little noise from his buddy Falcon. "Cap, on your left." And all of a sudden, out of this portal comes all these thousands of superheroes. The one thing Thanos didn't think about that day, when he was messing with Captain America, he was messing with all them. With the Avengers, you mess with the Cap, you mess with Iron Man. You mess with Iron Man, you mess with Thor. They're all together.
They're all buddies. If you're in God's family, guess what? God's with you. He's not just your buddy. He's your father. There was one time my son was dealing with some issues at some kids and stuff, or being mean to him or whatever. And I'm telling you right now, whoo, the father almost came out in me. I was like, Lord, can I just get in the flesh for 2 seconds, please? Can we just put aside 1 Corinthians 13? Didn't work. You know, but that's his heart. God's heart was like a father, like, you mess with my son, you mess with my daughter. Oh, no, daughter especially. You mess with my daughter, it's going down. That's what God does in heaven. He's not just sitting up there playing cards like, oh, they're going through something. I wonder what's going on with them. Okay. No. Oh, someone, that's it. Angels, whoo, get going. That's what God wants for our lives. Praise the Lord. Next step, I'll get through this. Praise the Lord. Whoo, I'm just getting warm. Go to 2 Samuel chapter 4, verse 4. When Henry Stanley, when he had those 50 scars on his hands, it was a powerful message to anyone who tried to come against him. We have a powerful message. A powerful message to save and deliver everybody. And here's the thing about a covenant. I want to put this out there too as well. Did you know true freedom comes when you give up your rights and privileges to God? Wonder why? Because then the responsibility is not on you. It's on him. He's the one that has to worry about it. He's the one to deal with it. He's the one. So that's why our worries, our cares, it makes our life free. We can just put it on him saying, Lord, this is your job. Now, obviously, we do the menial things on this planet. We have to work. The Bible says you don't work, you don't eat. We do the menial things, but the worry, the fear, the fret, the mind games that the enemy tries to bring to us, we can throw those off on God and say, God, I've got a covenant, and I know you're going to perform it because you're a man of your word. Last I checked, God doesn't lie. God doesn't go back on his word. Ooh, glory to God. I get myself excited up here. Hallelujah. 2 Samuel chapter 4, verse 4. Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son who was lame in his feet. He was 5 years old. When the news about Saul and Jonathan came from Jezreel, and the nurse took him up and fled, and it happened as she made haste to flee, that he fell and became lame. His name was Mephibosheth. This morning, I want to bring out Mephibosheth. See, Jonathan and David, as you remember, they cut a covenant together. This is Jonathan's son. Jonathan's father, King Saul, he did some bad stuff. He came against David, tried to kill David, tried to take him out. Back then, when opposing king became king, usually that king would take out the next person, the old king, the previous king, and their entire family. But check out what happened with Mephibosheth. 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 1, it says, now David said, is there still anyone who's left in the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was a servant of the house of Saul whose name was Ziba. So when they had called him to David, the king said to him, are you Ziba? He said, at your service. The king said, is there still not someone in the house of Saul? I just skipped down. Ooh. House of Saul. Praise the Lord. Is there someone in the house of Saul to whom I may show the kindness of God? And Ziba said to the king, there is still a son of Jonathan who's lame in his feet. So the king said to him, where is he? And Ziba said to the king, indeed, he is in the house of Makar, the son of Amiel, in Lodibar. Here's the thing. David took the step that God takes right here. We fail all the time. We make mistakes. But God took the step. David took the step here, just like God takes a step and says, is there anyone that I can find to reach out and to welcome in my house? Check this out. Verse 5, then King David sent and brought him out of the house of Makar, the son of Amiel, from Lodibar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, had come to David, he fell on his face and prostrated himself. Then David said to Mephibosheth, and he answered, here is your servant. So David said to him, do not fear, for I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan for your father's sake, and will restore to you all the land of Saul, your grandfather, and you shall eat bread at my table continually. I don't have time to go into this whole chapter, but I'm just going to explain this whole thing to you. You may feel like you've been pushed out or you've been away from God. You've been doing your own thing. You've been out there just whatever. But God wants to tell you something. He wants to tell you that he wants you to eat at his table. Amen. He wants you to come back to his table. He wants you to be a part of his covenant that's greater than anything else you could ever have on this planet. That supersedes any power on this planet. That supersedes any circumstance on this planet. Is our covenant with our God. See, Mephibosheth, he had every reason to be freaking out, to fearing for his life, that King David, rightfully back then, would kill him. But just like God, praise the Lord, just like God, he searched him out. He found him, and he brought him back. And not only did he restore the lands, he restored all his lands, but he said, come eat at my table. I believe God in this room this morning wants to restore some lives. He wants to restore your life. He wants to renew it. He wants to bring back things that you know that he wanted for your life. He wants to restore. And not only that, but man, King David brought him back to the king's table. What's at the king's table? All the blessings, all the victory that we have in Christ Jesus. We are the victors every single time. We have the victory no matter what we face. And God wants to tell us, look, you may feel like Mephibosheth. You may have been in Lodibar. Man, don't hang out in Lodibar. That's a boring bar. Get to the king's table where the eating is good. But God wants us this morning to realize we have a covenant. Go to Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6. Hebrews 8, verse 6. All these terms to the covenant and what we have, a lot of this that I was explaining this morning, a lot of the menial stuff through the covenant, the old covenant, is really the old covenant. But check this out. Hebrews 8, verse 6, it says this. But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch he is also a mediator of a covenant which was established on what? Better promises. This morning, if you're in this room and you're not eating at the king's table, jump in. Get to eating. It's good. Hey, God is not trying to take things away from us, keep things from us. He's trying to get stuff to us. All we have to do is take the step and say, you know what, God, everything is mine, everything is yours. I give it to you. It's yours. And God says, good, I can work with that. Here we go. I got a covenant. Woo, let's go. Here's the thing. There's five type of offerings under the Old Testament. There's five different types of offerings. The interesting thing about those is when Jesus died, he completely fulfilled. Two of them were under what Jesus did when he died. Three of them were actually a form of worship. The burnt, the meal, and the peace offering had to do with worship. You want to know why? Because God wants to fellowship with us. He's in love with us. He wants to get to know us. When's the last time you heard of someone dating somebody and they wrote love letters? Let me see how many pages are in here. They wrote 1,358 love letters to that person just to spend some time with them. That's what Christ did. And here's the thing. I had someone the other day says, God's not telling me anything. God's not telling me. here's the thing, guys. Listen. God's Wi-Fi signal doesn't have dead spots. The last I checked, him writing 800 and some thousand words, the man knows how to communicate. I'm working in that area. Ask my wife. I don't know how a guy communicates that way. He knows how to communicate. He doesn't have dead spots in his Wi-Fi signal. The thing about a blood covenant is this. He's done everything. He's given us everything. He communicates everything to us. He gives us direction. He gives us healing. He gives us victory. Everything is there. The delay is not him. We have to look at ourselves. Last I checked, the man knows how to perform surgery. He hasn't forgotten. Last I checked, the man knows how to prosper people. He hasn't changed. He hasn't gotten slack in anything. So we have to look back at ourselves and say, look, we've got a side of the covenant that we get to fulfill. It's not a drudgery. Look, your flesh will tell you it's hard. You can't, you're going to miss out on fun. You're going to miss out on this. I talk to teenagers all the time. I'm going to miss out on the fun. No, you're not. You ain't missing out on nothing. You're missing out on God's blessings, which is the best fun anybody could ever have. God's saying, I've got a covenant with you. So whether it's sin, addictions, sickness, disease, poverty, whatever it is, we've got a covenant. But we also have a responsibility. We have our side too. We got to fulfill that. And there's areas we got to change. We got to look at it and say, hey, what do I need to change? Every week, my wife will tell you, every week I'm looking at her saying, honey, I missed it here. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done this. Or I shouldn't have looked at it. You know, I shouldn't have, whatever. I shouldn't have saw this way. I should have, you know. We all are human. But are we willing to make the corrections to move forward? Praise God. We have a covenant. We have a victory with God. I mean, I want to give you a quick testimony. And I'll end with this. The Lord has opened the doors for me to be in the schools system here, and I've been working in the schools for a while now. And last 3 years, I've been here 4 years, but for 3 years of those 4 years, I've been actively in the high schools. And somebody I've been working with actively in the schools, and him and his wife are in this one of the schools, and they came to me about a year and a half ago, and their daughter had a brain abnormality in their brain. She was having seizures in the middle of the night all the time, and they were in tears. They were crying because as a parent, You want to take it. You want to say, devil, put that on me. Don't mess with my kid. Don't mess with my kid. And so they were crying their tears, and I prayed with them, and many others prayed with them. And I'm not saying that this is exactly one thing that did it, but what I felt led to do is I had this book that I got from when I went to Bible college at Rhema, and it's Healing for the Whole Man. And I gave them this, and I said, in this booklet, there's a chart. A body chart. And it's got every single verse in the Bible that correlates with every single part of your body that you can speak and confess over whatever abnormality is hitting your body. And I said, as a spiritual doctor, I want to prescribe to you that you confess this three times a day over your daughter until you see that healing and you don't let doubt and unbelief get into your mind. And so I gave it to them. And they took it. It was about a year and a half. And I just kept praying and kept praying. This was about a month ago. They approached me and they said, Kevin, you will never believe this, but guess what? I said, what? We went to see the doctor, urologist, about her brain abnormalities, and the doctor said, it's completely gone. And you don't ever have to come back here again. You know what all I did? This is all I did. I just reminded them of their covenant rights. Here's your covenant. Go use it. That's all it is. And so sometimes the devil likes to complicate and get in our minds and make us think that this is so complicated. That's what the Bible says. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Guys, we believe in victory, faith, healing. That's what that Bible says. That's what we walk in. And we confess that over whatever situation we face. Let's go ahead and pray this morning. Father God, we just thank you, Lord, for this service.
I thank you, Father God, that you've given us such a great covenant rights. That, Father God, we're in this room this morning, Father God, and we're not here just as normal, mere human beings, Father God, but we're here, if we're saved, we're here as children, daughters, and sons of the living God with a great covenant of power, of might, so that whatever we face on this planet, we can walk in victory, we can walk in healing. And Father God, we know that there's times where we may miss it, but Father God, we determine this morning that when we miss it, we get back up. We don't sit down. We get back up and we make the corrections. We say, Lord, I'm going to work on that. I'm going to get that corrected. And as we do that, Father God, we know that you always fulfill your side of the covenant. There's never any doubt. There can't be. Because you're a God that doesn't lie. You're the one true God. Father, we thank you for that. Thank you, Jesus. With every head bowed and every eye closed in this room this morning, I just want to put this call out there. If you're in this room this morning and you say, Kevin, man, I'm hearing about this covenant this morning and Jesus and what he did for me on dying on the cross and everything. Man, I've never cut this covenant with God before. I've never prayed the prayer of salvation. And you want to get in on that. You want to be a part of that. And get things right in your life, because you know, living on this planet, man, it's despairing. But with Christ, there's hope. There's joy. There's peace. And you're in this room this morning, you want to experience that. You want to pray that prayer of salvation for the first time. I want to ask you if you could just slip your hand up this morning. Anybody in this room? See that hand? Anybody else? See that hand? Anybody else? Over there. Thank you. Any other hands? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, my Lord. Now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if everybody in this room could repeat this after me, say, Father God, I come to you now as a sinner. I realize that I need your Son Jesus for my life. I now ask Jesus into my heart to become my Lord and Savior. And I commit to live my life for you as I enter into this covenant. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet real quick. Those of you who did pray that prayer for the first time, we got altar workers. Altar workers, if you guys could come on up. We want to get some materials into your hands. We got some materials for you to read. You just made the biggest decision, the best decision of your entire life. Right here this morning. Man, oh my goodness, I'm excited. Angels in heaven are rejoicing. So if you made that decision, we got altar workers up here. If you could go to them, they've got information for you. And here's one more other call. If you're in this room and, man, you've been hanging out in Lodabar, and you want to get out of that bar because it's depressing and get into the King's table this morning and get back with God, I want you also to come up to these altar workers and get that life right. Get it right. Sin is bad, man. Sin will destroy you. But God will bring life, bring joy, make something better than you could ever ask for. Or also, if you have issues going on in your life, you just need someone to agree in prayer with you. We all go through stuff. We got altar care workers for you. Last but not least, we got stuff at the information table for you as you leave. If you need, we got tons of stuff going on. Ice cream truck outreach. We got Friday night worship, counter worship night. A lot of stuff going on that you need to get a part of. Plug in. God is awesome. It's great to be in the house of God this morning. Amen. Turn and greet someone before you leave. Find someone you haven't talked to in a week or two. Greet them. God bless you.